Maybe I like to suggest some ways of developing joy in your practice and see how it can help you in your practice. I think one important area is, as I often mention, is learning to be friendly to oneself. Because if you are hating yourself, if you are disliking yourself, if you are overcritical of yourself, if you are always trying to escape from yourself, one can never experience joy. So this is one important aspect of developing joy. Another way of developing joy is relating to other people. I mean, this is why it's something beautiful in the Mahayana tradition, this emphasis of developing compassion. Because by developing compassion, by being helpful to others, this can give considerable joy to oneself. Especially in the context of developing your spiritual quality. So this is second way of developing more joy and lightness. The third is about effort. It is very important to develop what is called right effort or effortless effort. Here again there are two extremes to avoid. One extreme is trying too hard. And when you try too hard, you can never experience joy. In fact, yesterday I was mentioning that when I am in the West, I have to tell meditators not to try too hard because they are so intense, they are so serious, they are seeing meditation as something, as a competition. Because there is this emphasis on being perfect, you want to be the perfect meditator. So in that process, how can joy and lightness arise? And as I was saying yesterday, when I am in Sri Lanka, I have to tell them to try too hard because they are more too, they are not trying at all. They are too laid back. So anyway, this effortless effort. And another aspect related to effortless effort is to see your practice not as something you do only when you are sitting. Where if you can see your practice as part of your life, where if you can learn to be aware, if you can learn to watch your mind in everyday situations, then meditation becomes a way of life. Then it becomes natural. Then it becomes effortless. And here it can generate a lot of joy and a lot of lightness. Another point related to that is a sense of humor, especially the ability to laugh at oneself, laugh at self-importance, laugh at this meditator who wants to become enlightened, laugh at your self-image. This reminds me of a Tibetan story where there was a man who was doing his own practice by himself, and there was a couple that was looking after him. And one day the wife visits the meditator and tells him that my husband will visit you in the evening. So after he left, he realized when he looked at his room that it was shabby, it was untidy. So what he tried to do was to make it tidy, to clean up the room. Then as a meditator, he reflected on what he was trying to do. Then he realized that he was trying to impose a particular image on the visitor who was coming in the evening. So when he realized that, he made the room more untidy. And then, as the story goes, when the visitor came in the evening, he shared it with him, and as he did that, he started to laugh. And it is said that while laughing, he became free, he became enlightened, where he was able to laugh at himself, laugh at his own image. So this is another, I think, it's a very important aspect to cultivate in the spiritual practice. Normally we use humor in relation to laughing at others. Another aspect is, in your practice, if you can see your practice as something interesting, something, what would be another word, something curious, something entertaining. I often tell meditators that watching the mind and understanding and exploring, if you can see it as playfulness, if you can see, I mean, if you can really understand how our minds work and just watch it, I mean, it can be more entertaining than watching television. I say that we have so many channels. And if one can develop this relationship in understanding and watching yourself, then meditation becomes fun, it becomes, there's a lightness, it's interesting, it's discovering, it's investigating. So I feel this is important to find out how thoughts arise, to find out how we construct stories, to see how the films that we create, to understand this, to see what is happening in a very light-hearted way, in a playful way, can generate a lot of joy, so that itself is freedom. And a metaphor that I use is that it's like climbing a mountain, climbing a hill. The idea is, of course, to reach the top. But while climbing, if you can forget that and see the climbing, the problems you have, the falls you have, if you can learn to enjoy them, then that itself, as one of the Zen teachers said, practice is enlightenment. Practice is enlightenment. It's not something different. So if you can relate it to your practice that way, that itself is freedom. That itself is joy. Not what comes after. So it's not postponing something. It's just seeing what is happening now at the moment. This reminds me one day in the center, I was working in the garden. And we have an elderly woman in the garden. She's quite knowledgeable about gardening. She came and told me, whatever you are doing is all nonsense. You are doing something wrong. I said, it's okay, I'm enjoying it. Maybe one other point about the practice is we have again this duality, dichotomy between going for pleasant experiences and avoiding and disliking unpleasant experiences. So the result is there's a split, a dichotomy, a division, a duality in our practice. So in such a situation, how can joy arise? Your practice is a battle. So one has to learn to transcend, overcome this pleasant and unpleasant dichotomy by being open to any experience. That can generate a lot of joy. That can generate a lot of joy, the lightness and joy. Because you have no model of what should happen.